themselves. And most of what you say will fall by the side. They say, gosh, this guy wants to missionize me. Oh, gosh, you know, I wish I got rid of this guy. You know? But once you make him curious and make sure that he knows that you know the answer, then he will come. Then he will ask you questions. And he will come with open ears. If you say, no, you sit there and I have to lecture to you, then he's doing you a favor and you have to say thank you to him, right? But if he comes with questions, then you are doing him a favor and he is in a position to say thank you to you. And if he has questions, he is really interested in the answers. He will open his ears and he will really try to understand what you explain to him. He will not doze off. Therefore, for instance, if you give a lecture, you should not just stand there and try to get rid of your lecture. But you should ask questions, especially if you have new people. If you teach the principles to people who have heard it 50 times already, that's different. But if you have new people and you want to explain the principles to them, before you give them the answer, it's better to raise a question in his heart. If you have the answer, then it's better to make him ask that question first. And if the evening is over and he goes out home and you hope that he comes back, you better make sure he comes back. The best thing to make sure that he comes back is to ask him some questions of which you know he doesn't have the answer for, but you have the answers. Then you say, well, you know, it's really getting late. Next time we talk about that. With our public image, we had a little bit of a tough time. And there was a period in the Austrian family, we made it a policy, if somebody had witnessed to somebody and brought him to the center, the first evening they would not teach principles, but just talk to him normally, show him that we are normal people, not some freaks, and make him curious. Make sure he comes back. First time, don't teach him principles, but make sure he comes back. Rudolf Dangl, probably some of you know Rudolf Dangl. He was witnessed to by my brother. You know, he was a philosophy student, and his brother witnessing to him. I don't think he has everything straight up here. And he gave him first and second chapter, and he met him several times, but then they didn't meet again. And well, that was it, for half a year. Then everybody was out, I don't know where they went, everybody was out of the center. I was the only one at home in the center. And the doorbell rang, and Rudolf Dangl was standing there. I said, well, you know, I just want to give this here. I want to give this back. I said, no, why don't you come in? I somehow managed to get him into the room, and I said, I'm really only here to give that back because one of the fellows gave me that and I wanted to return that because I have no use for that. I said, you don't have any use for that. Why not? Well, you know, what all these things, everything that says, that's all wrong. I said, all wrong. For instance, huh? Of course, that was a hook. If people say everything is wrong, if they generalize everything is wrong, so and anyway, and all this, then you just ask them, for instance, one point. Then you have to come up with one point. And that is a good starter for a conversation. You say, for instance, that. I said, well, this is wrong. Well, don't you think so and so and so? I didn't lecture him. I kept asking him questions. Therefore, I forced him to get involved in the problem. Right? If I would have taught him something, he could have said, well, you talk and I don't listen, you know. But if you ask questions, they are forced to get involved. So this and that, after half an hour he left, he said, well, if it's that way, then I really should think it over again. He took it again and he's one of our best members today. He only came to return the script. It's very important that you get the people involved in that thinking process. Not, don't just take the principles and dump it on them, hoping that something they may suck up something of it. That won't work. You have to get them involved. If you teach, ask questions. Otherwise, these people are going to doze off. And don't give a lecture to the blackboard, but talk to the people. It's much better to talk freely, not with, you know, reading off somebody who is much smarter than you has written in the book. That won't work, because you have to be convincing in your lecture, and you are only convincing if you have your own point and you can really make a point. If you can stand up for your standpoint and explain it to them. But again, that lecture can be very dull. That lecture will not be dull if you are involved in your heart. If you're really involved in your heart, then, you know, even the most stupid farmer, if he really gets involved with something, if it's really in his, it's on his heart, he can give a beautiful speech. He can really convince the people of what he's talking about. He can really convince them, no matter how stupid he is. He has never given a speech in his life, but he can make his point. And if the principles are really burning in your heart, I don't think you have to be very intelligent. If it is in your heart and you understood what you're talking about, you won't have any problem explaining it to the other people. No problem at all. And wherever you can't explain the same thing, if your heart is channeled in the right direction, God is going to pull it in. You are going to be the channel. Sorry. We made ourselves a slave of this little thing. Oh, that reminds me of something. I may tell you something. Once we were confronted with some evolutionists, they say, well, God didn't do that, it all was made by chance, you know. Then some of the people said, you know, this is my watch. If I would tell you that this watch came about by things just falling in part by accident, you would say, I'm stupid, right? But a human being who is much, 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 much more complex, that this came about just by chance, you know? You tried to make me believe that? I can't make this picture. It doesn't work. Okay, it's 10 o'clock. I think now you have to do something else. You want to get rid of me? I don't want to spoil your evening. Something more. I would like you to pray for those people behind the Iron Curtain. You know, sometimes you think you are suffering, being a Mooney, having a hard life. Those people behind the Iron Curtain are suffering much, 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 much more. You know, sometimes I feel so sorry for the Russian communists, because they're really so cheated by Satan. And I think the only way we can overcome them and win them over is by love. If you can't, you just think of the Cain Abel situation. We can only overcome them by love. It will be difficult, and we may have to pay our price. But these people are really paying their price. Once it was on the was at first European conference, you know, in comeback, that meeting at night when we was on Holy Ground, and we prayed. First we sang, and then somebody said I should pray, and everybody else was singing. I was sort of trying to channel myself to God for the prayer. And at that time, shortly before that, Father said, you should find millions and millions of people in Europe. When I was there, God told me, those millions are behind the Iron Curtain. I never forget that. You know, if you give them some real clear inspiration from God, you'll never forget that. If you never had such an experience with God, open your heart wide for God. Let God be really one with God in heart. Your life will never be the same again. But now I'm really going to end. Okay. Let's beloved Heavenly Father, oh Father, we thank you that you have fetched us out of the meaninglessness of our old lives, and that you have set your guiding star over our path. We thank you, Father, that you have prepared us, that you have guided us, that you have provided us with everything we need for a life with you. Father, we didn't know how much you have loved men. We didn't realize how much you have been rejected by men. Oh Father, we want to give all our heart to you, not just our mouth. Father, we want you to live in our heart. We want you to have part in our lives. And we ask you to let us share your life. Let us feel in our heart just as you feel. Not just your joy, but your sorrow is the same. Let us think as you think. And we want to act as you would act in our place. You have guided us so far, and you have shown us so much mercy. And we ask you, praying for you, and we cannot find you. Oh Father, we know there are many, many people in the world, the city, who would have deserved it much more than we to receive that mercy from you. Please do not forget those people. And guide us to these people that we may find them. That they too may participate in your blessing. We thank you, Father, that you have shown us your way and your will in such an early time. While all the world is still sleeping, we know what your dispensation is. We thank you, Father, that we can live in this great time and that we can participate in your greatest works of all. We thank you, Father, that you have entrusted us with responsibility for our neighbor, our Father. We thank you that you have created us not as a stone, not as a flower, but in your image, with a heart to receive your love and to respond to your love. We thank you that you have given us free will, that you have given us such a beautiful surrounding, that you have created all these beautiful things for the joy of your children. Oh Father, we want to straighten out this world, and we want to bring this world back to you. Father, we want to tell you to take a rest. You have taken so much trouble for us. You have done so much for us. Everything we are, everything we know, everything we have received from you. And mankind has never returned anything to you. Father, now let us do something for you. Please guide us that we can really establish your kingdom. That we may not make any mistakes. That we may not establish our own kingdom, but that we truly establish your kingdom. This is our prayer, Father. Oh, Father, we thank you above all that the true parents have made all this possible. Please, Father, be with our true parents. Give them health and a long life. And guide them in everything they are doing to establish your kingdom. We thank you, Father, that you have been among us here. Please draw us closer to you. Fill us with your essence. Take us in your hands and remold us according to your image. Oh, Father, we thank you for this evening. In the name of the true parents. Amen.
Okay, let's give a big hand to him again.
By the way, that was the first time I was ever called to give such a lecture. I wouldn't call it a lecture, that talk, let's say. First experience to me. How did I do? No, thank you. That's it. Yeah, then. Okay.
Nice. Thank you very much.
They should respect me because I am one step ahead of them and not because I'm supposed to be one step ahead of them. And this is where I come back to where I started. That is the testimony you give by your life. You give a testimony to those people by your life. And if they recognize that, they will love you and they really will do everything for you. I give you one example. You maybe heard of our 300-point condition. I told them, we are going to make 50 points. 50 points, that is, a two-day workshop case is 1 point, seven-day workshop case is 2 points, and 21-day workshop case is 4 points. We should make 50 points every weekend. And if you don't make it, I'm going to start to fast until we reach that goal. So they worked very hard, and they made the 50 points. Actually they did make the 50 points, but somebody had not reported in the proper way, so I thought we did make it. So I got everybody together, I said, now we start special condition, a 300-point condition. And I will fast until you finish that 300-point condition. 300 points, that is working hard at the rate they used to, that would be just about 6 weeks. I said, I will fast as long as you have not accomplished that. And I actually started fasting. And the people got together and said, we can't let them fast 40 days. We can't do that. How can we do that? Oh, and they worked out the plan, and it might even work. That plan might even work. They said, if we reach that goal in 21 days, then we get him off the hook after 21 days. No? We can't let him go for... How is father going to think about the Austrian family if we let him fast 40 days? So they really decided to match that goal in 21 days instead of 40 days. Of course, I hope they succeed, because it's good for me. But... they could have said, well, if he wants to play crazy, that's his problem. You see, you have to build up your relationship to your members. That has to be a very healthy relationship. I have to admit, I have one problem with the Japanese members, because they just don't open up. They are like stone wall, and I can't get through that wall. Maybe they think in a different way, maybe they feel in a different way. I haven't found out yet, I have to admit. That's still a project I have to solve. But the others, I think we are on pretty good terms. You know, it helps that spiritually I'm a little bit open. Or maybe I'm not so open, just God wants to show me. And sometimes people, they don't tell me the truth. But I know anyway. It doesn't necessarily say, I tell them, you just lied to me. I know exactly you did so and so. But I know. I think God can entrust you only with those things which you love. If you people can give you only all things if you love all things, and out of love you will treat them right. And God will only entrust members to you if you love your members. There's another thing I have not read in any book. I found this out to be very true. You know, in the Bible, in the story of Fall of Man, there's this, in the Bible always says, and Abraham knew his wife so and so. This knowing. I found out that this knowing and loving, there are two expressions which are really very, very closely related. You will find out. You can only love what you know. And you can only know what you love. If you don't love something, you will never know it. And of course, if you don't know something, you can't love it. It's the same with our relationship to God. Only if we know something about God, if we know of his love, then we can respond to his love. Then we can love him. And because through this love, we draw very close to God, or whatever we love, the closer we draw to that partner of love, the more we know that partner, or God. So you can only know God if you love God. There have been many people who tried to explain God, and they found out you can't really explain God. So one day, one member came to me, and he said something which I think is very true. Maybe God doesn't want to be explained. Maybe he wants to be loved. So even the strongest, keenest intellect will not be able to explain God, but God can only be perceived by the pure heart. No matter how stupid you are, you still can love God, right? So the relationship to God is not some monopoly of theology professors. Even a child can love God. And if your love to God is strong enough, I think you can really move the world. You can really move the world. Like making rain or stopping the rain, easy. If your relationship to God is right, you do it. I could tell you some stories. I don't want to waste your time with that kind of story, but I could tell you a lot of stories about that. If your love to God is strong enough, you really pray desperate, stopping the rain, no problem. Goon even did it when he was 6 years old. My son, he did it when he was 6 years old. That's easy. You know, and I may as well tell you that story. Goon has a problem of finding playmates because most of the children, you know, they're just bad influence and so on. One day he went to the park with his little sister, and then he met this little boy, and they played together. They liked each other very much, and there was the mother of that boy there too. But then the boy had to go home, and Gun said, "Well, can't we play again?" And oh yes, they agreed they will play again, and well, next Tuesday. But Gun really wanted to go with him up to his apartment and play there. And Gun asked the mother of this boy, "Can we come play up in his apartment?" Well, the mother said, "Yes, but if the sun is shining, you know, we play out in the park. Only when it's raining, then you can play upstairs, you know?" And so Gun, you know, was looking at the sky all the time, you know, and sunshine, wonderful sunshine, you know? Tuesday came up, you know, and he was really, with all his heart, he wanted to play upstairs with his boy. He woke up, first thing he did was looking out of the window, beautiful morning, blue sky, you know. And then they wanted to meet at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. At 10 o'clock, we have to play in the park like all the time. I really want to play up there. And then 11 o'clock, and he said, "Pa, I don't think, now we have to do something." And then he started praying. "Heavenly Father, I want to play upstairs. Please make it rain. Can't you make it rain? I want to play upstairs with him if it doesn't rain." And at 12 o'clock, the sky was just about falling down. At 2 o'clock, it was impossible to play in the park. They had to play upstairs. One day after that, I returned from some trip, I think from England, on an airplane. And they picked me up at night. And he told me the story. I said, "Well, Gun, what do you think, what was the reason that it rained?" He said, "Well, because I prayed." Yeah. So I said, "Yeah, you know, Gun, but you have to be careful, you see? Because there are so many farmers. They really need the sunshine now. And they all pray to God, Heavenly Father, for sunshine. And now you pray for rain. You get Heavenly Father all mixed up." He said, "I see that." He saw the point. Well, there's just a little bit more time left, so I would like to ask you whether you have any specific questions. I don't want to absolutely monopolize this. If you have any questions, please come up quickly. Don't wait. Sit there for 5 minutes and waste your time. Oh, you probably heard that story. I've told that so often. Huh? No? Well, you know, I was working in an engineering office at my first time at the beginning of the mission in Frankfurt. And there was a young boy sitting there. He was called up to the army. That was a Swiss company, by the way. And this boy was called up for the army, but he didn't really like to go to the army, so he thought, well, he better get a transfer to the main office of that company in Switzerland. And he tried to do that, which later on didn't work out after all. But so he left the company, and they hired somebody else. That was Mr. Vincent. So we had our desks facing each other, and that, you know, we had our own little room, and we were working there. I didn't know him. Well, he was new. I first had to find out about him. We started talking a little bit. I found out, well, he comes from Eastern Germany, and he came to West Germany to attend a church convention. I said, oh, gosh, church convention. Seems to be one of those born-again Christians. How are you going to tackle him? No? And, well, we kept talking, and you know, I had one big advantage. I was on that job, and he was on that job, and I was going to be there every morning, and he was going to be there every morning, so I could really take my time preparing him before I would hit. And I used that advantage. One day, somehow, we came to talking about books. I said, oh, boy, that's my chance. I said, well, you know, books... suppose you would be stranded on an island for 1 year and you would have the opportunity to choose 3 books to take along. What books would you take? He said, well, I would take the Bible, I would take Faust, that is by Goethe, and I would take, he was thinking, then I cut in and said, well, I wouldn't need 3 books. I just would need 1 book. I said, What is it, the Bible? I said, no, not the Bible. A book even greater than the Bible. And it is, if I have that book, I don't need any other book. And so, oh, what book is that? What book is that? He said, oh, well, I said, you know, I really have to finish that job now. I'll talk to you about that some other time. Okay? I'll talk to you about that some other time. Then he always wanted to later on immigrate to America. When he knew that I was been in America, and then we kept talking, we started talking about America, and he wanted to know more about America. And I said, well, you know, I could tell you all these things, but, you know, right now I have to finish this year, and I don't really have the time right now. Maybe some other time he gets a chance, you know. So I really worked him up. You made him listen to that. If you want to teach principles, if you want to tell somebody something, then you first have to open his ears. So I said, before I give him the principles, I better open his ears. You know? And then I forgot what the third thing was. There was 3 times I did that. I really worked him all up, and then cold water, you know? Well, I don't really have the time right now. We have to do it some other time. So I got him all curious. And then one Friday afternoon I said, oh, you know, I don't really have anything to do tomorrow morning. That would have, you know, we could talk about these things tomorrow morning. Maybe I could manage to do that, you know. I really wanted to get him there. I said, well, maybe I have time for you, you know. He said, well, when can I come, yeah? He came to my house, and of course that was it. When he left at night, he had heard all the principles and practically accepted the principles. But at first, said to, you know, open his ears. Remember, you cannot force a horse to drink, but you can make that horse thirsty. So don't rush and press the solutions on people. Make sure they know you have the solutions. Then they come and ask. if you just, you know, want to pour it on them, they just want to protect themselves. And most of what you say